Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the message that you want to deliver today, Father. I cling to you, Holy Spirit. I am yours. Use me as you would want me to be used, Lord God, Father. Use my words, anoint the ears and the hearts to receive the message that you have for the people today. I believe it's a message that is timely and that it's going to bring transformation and hope, Lord God, Father, for this community in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen. The title of this message is Resurrection Power. Resurrection Power. Amen. When Jesus resurrected, when he died on the cross, power was released that allowed us, you know, to live for him. Amen. So the base scripture for this is Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. You've already heard some of these scriptures because the children were reading them. We were not in agreement, but I could have just skipped this, you know. But anyway, it says, now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. I want to read this verse again. Saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. Today, I want to speak to you about the power of the resurrection of Christ, of Jesus Christ. The day that Jesus broke out of the grave, he released the power of life. And I want to start, first of all, by talking about history. There are three historical events that skeptics have to deal with altogether. The empty tomb, the resurrection appearances, and the establishment of the church through the first believers. As to the empty tomb, guess what? There is no bones. There's no shrine there. There's not a single shred of evidence of a body that anybody can find. And you got to take all these three pieces of evidence together. The second one, the resurrection appearances. Let's think about this. They were either lying, they hallucinated, or they really saw the risen Christ. First, there's the gospel accounts where women found the empty tomb, like we just read. And then Peter went in. And then also Peter and John ran to see the tomb, as we also read. Look at what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 to 8, which we've also alluded to today. It says, for what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, that's Peter, and to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. Now let's look at other historians. In the third century, the Jewish historian, you know, Josephus, wrote about these events. I just want you to know our faith is rooted in history. Our faith is rooted in history. So the start of the church and quickly spread the faith. Let me ask you, why did 10 of the 12 disciples decide to give their lives for something they had not attested to? I mean, 11 of them did, but only 10 were martyred, is what I'm trying to say. Peter, the same disciple who hours before the death and resurrection had denied Jesus, somehow now full of power, full of courage, selflessness, was willing to be persecuted, and history tells us that he died for this. Why, I ask you, why would Paul, who wrote this epistle, be willing to die and say, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain? Let me tell you, it is because it is an undeniable fact that they saw him with their own lives and attest to his love and power. After 2,000 years, kings, governors, philosophers, atheists, communists, and many other groups have tried to eradicate the most central, important fact of the gospel, that the sinless Jesus died for our sins on a cross and resurrected on the third day. And here we are, and the gospel is not going anywhere. Post-Christian America, they say. The media crucifies us today, but they cannot deny the power of the life of Jesus running through the veins of the church and continuing to spread until every tribe, every tongue across the globe has heard the message. I say, Jesus lives on. Jesus lives on. These apostles and heirs of the faith attested to the resurrection power over the death. Well, in both Leviticus in the Old Testament and in Hebrews in the New Testament, God established that without the spilling of blood, there cannot be any remission of sins. Therefore, the cross was necessary. It was the resurrection where Jesus displayed the fullness of his power. He proved to his disciples and to all of us today that he had power not just over life, but also over death and also over the grave. If he could raise Lazarus and Talitha and even himself, then he can resurrect you and I. He can resurrect you and I. Jesus has resurrection power, which is available for us today. But in order to understand it, we have to go back to Friday. We have to go back to Friday. It is important. We have to look at Jesus' journey to the cross, the hanging on the cross, the nails, his burial, the Sabbath or Saturday, where everything seemed uncertain. I'm sure the disciples were thinking, what do we do now? It was a day of rest. They had a whole day to think about it. Maybe we were wrong. Maybe we missed it. What's happening? What is happening? But then Sunday came. And it all changed. So for the remaining part of the sermon, I want to focus on the application. What does it mean to you and I? I want us to look again at the passage which would begin in Luke chapter 24, verse 7. I have a slide for it. Look at it. It says, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Brenda, do you have my slide? I'm sorry. Because I had underlined some things that I wanted you guys to see. Maybe not. But anyway, I want to focus on three phrases. There it is. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and rise again. Sinful men. But let me just say, sinful men and women. That includes all of us here today. There's no one who does not fall into this category. And then he went to the cross and he hung. He was crucified. Right? And last, he rose again. I just want you to think about that. Because in this phrase, we see the power of life and the power to hang on in the most difficult situations and the power to overcome. The power of breakthrough. Let's look at this. The first thing that we underline, sin. It is the cause of all of our death, all of our disease, all of our disappointment, all the divorce, all the division, every broken relationship, every war, every hunger, better hunger, poverty, pain, every curse. But the word says that when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now let's look at the cross. And I have a slide for this as well. Thank you. Jesus was crucified. This was the payment for our sin. But it also represents God's empowerment to us to hang on during the most difficult situations. Whenever we are going through difficult circumstances, we can glance at the cross. Much like in the desert, when, in the book of Numbers, when the people had revolted against Moses and his leadership and what God was doing, it says that God, you know, punished them. But it says that he gave them a serpent that they put up. And as they looked up, it says that they were healed, that they were able to survive the bites of the serpent. In the same way, as we behold the cross, we're able to survive the most difficult circumstances. If Jesus was able to hang on the cross, then you can hang on under the most difficult of times. Jesus said, in this world you will have afflictions, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. There are times where the undesired situations will not go immediately away. We want them to go away, but they won't go immediately away. But he empowers us to live with patience and perseverance in the midst of the most difficult circumstances. So I just want to say, he hung on so that you can hang on. He hung on so that you can hang on. He hung on the cross so that you can hang in the darkest of times. And then there's the resurrection. The resurrection gave us the power of hope. To hope for eternal life. To be able to start a new life. To have a brighter tomorrow. And as we like to say here, the best is yet to come. Come on, say it with me. The best is yet to come. Doesn't matter what the news media say, the best is yet to come. We know who is in control. It is Jesus. It is our God. Hallelujah. Without the resurrection, we would not have certainty that he can resurrect us. Or that he can resurrect our dreams. Or he can bring us out of the darkest times. Yes, we can all hang on for some time. But we all want to come into our rest, don't we? We always want to have that breakthrough moment. The resurrection represents the power to overcome. Be of good cheer, Jesus says. I have overcome the world. He says, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans for hope and a future, says in Jeremiah 29. Hope and a future. The resurrection afford us hope and a future. Come on, tell the person next to you, you have a hope and you have a future. Things might be dark for you right now, but he has hope and a future for you. Jesus busted the grave wide open so that you can overcome your past. You can hang on to the present and be sure of your future. Come on, let's give him some praise this morning. Come on, let's give him some praise. Isn't it true? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at Psalm 30, verse 5. For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. And listen to this. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And let's look at this verse. God took out his anger for sin upon Jesus for a moment so that he could deliver favor for a lifetime upon us. Because of that, you may endure a night of difficulty, but I want to tell you that joy is coming in the morning. Yes, you may endure a night of pain, of uncertainty, like the Sabbath day. But joy is coming in the morning. Come on, say it with me. Joy is coming in the morning. Yes, you can say it with a smile. Joy is coming in the morning. Right now you might be living your cross, but your resurrection moment is coming. I want to say to you, you may be living your cross, but your resurrection moment is coming. So the cross gives us power to hang on, and the resurrection gives us power to overcome. Some days you may have to survive, but others you can thrive. Some days you can survive, but others you can thrive. He made you to thrive. And you know God loves an underdog story. And we love them too, don't we? The Bible tells us that a teenager defeated a 9-footer named Goliath. And Gideon and 300 men defeated thousands upon thousands of Midianites. And a bunch of slaves toppled the nation of Egypt with a stuttering leader named Moses. What are you battling today? What are you battling today? Your giant might be your pain or the disease that you're dealing with. Your mocking enemy might be your failure. Or maybe a child who walked away on you or walked away on God. Your Egypt might be the offenses that you're living with or the addictions that you're battling. I want to encourage you that the cross has hanging on power and the resurrection has breakthrough power. Bill and Gloria Gaither wrote a song that many of you guys are familiar with, but I want to read you the story. I don't want you to show it just yet. If you could hide that for a second, Brent. I don't want people to get distracted on me. but I want you to read this part of an article by Lady Lindsay Terry interviewed Gloria Gaither. And it says, "Not for the story behind Because He Lives, as Gloria told it to me in one of several interviews. In the late 1960s, while expecting their third child, the Gaithers were going through a rather traumatic time in their lives. Bill was recovering from a bout with mononucleosis. It was a special period of anxiety and mental anguish for Gloria. The thought of bringing another child into this world with all the craziness was taking its toll on her. Doesn't it sound like stuff today? On New Year's Eve, she was sitting in their living room in agony and fear. The educational system was being infiltrated with the idea that God is dead, while drug abuse and racial tensions were increasing. Wow, it surely sounds like today. Then suddenly, and quite unexpectedly, she was filled with a gentle, calming peace. It was as if her heavenly father, like an attentive mother bending over her baby, saw his child and came to her rescue. The panic gave way to calmness and an assurance that only the Lord can impart. She was assured that the future would be just fine, left in God's hands. Shortly after the baby was born, both Bill and Gloria remembered that the power of the blessed Holy Spirit seemed to come to their aid. Christ's resurrection, in all of its power and affirmation in their lives, revitalized their thinking. To Gloria, it was alive, conquering death in their daily activities. Joy once again dominated the fearful circumstances of the day." And I want to read to you just the verses, the first verse in the chorus, which was written about in the 1960s. It says, "God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives." "And because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future. And life is worth the living just because He lives." And it wouldn't be fair if we didn't sing it together. Because I get to cry, you get to cry too. Let's just sing the first verse in the chorus.
"God sent His Son, they call Him Jesus. He came to love,
yes.
He led.
Come on, let it wash you as you sing it.
He lived and died.
Yes.
To buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives."
Come on, sing it.
"Because He lives, I can face tomorrow.
No matter what happens,
because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future.
Yes, He holds your future.
Life is worth the living just because He lives."
Let's sing it again. "Because
He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear. I know He holds the future. the living, just because he
is. Life is worth living. Yes. Hallelujah. The best is yet to come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can take your seat. I'm not done. There's more. I'm almost done. We're going to be singing some more here in a second. I just want to say all of us cry at some point. And I'm not talking about tears of joy. All of us fail. All of us crumble at times. We all need something of substance to say that there is life after failure. That there is sunlight of morning after a long night of darkness. We all need to know that there's hope for the worst situations. That there's life after heartbreak. That there's love after a divorce. That there's closeness after rejection. That there's relationship after loneliness. Psalm 61 says that he can give you beauty for ashes, oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of despair. Can you praise him in the darkest times? He has a fresh start for you, and it is found in the power of the cross and in the power of the resurrection. Yes, our ultimate moment of breakthrough and victory will be in heaven. But though your circumstances are uncomfortable and even painful today, you can have access to his resurrection power in your heart, in your mind, and in your emotions. He can empower you. He can put a song of praise in those times and peace during the storm. I want to summarize. Number one, he hung on so that you can hang on. Hebrews 12 says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He was looking past the cross. I can hang on for just a little while longer. I can hang on for just a little while longer. You can hang on just a little while longer because your joy is set before you. It is coming. Your day of breakthrough is coming. Number two, he resurrected so that you can overcome. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. What is there to be afraid of? I ask when he lives inside of you. You can praise God. The Apostle Paul, who undoubtedly suffered greatly because of the cause of Christ, said this in Romans chapter 6, verse 5. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, it means we get to suffer too. Certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. When you go through the cross, you get access to the resurrection power. When you understand what the cross means to you, then all of a sudden, the power of the resurrection is made available for you. He also said it this way in Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 through 11. I want to know Christ. Do you want to know Christ? Do you want to know Christ? Yes. To know the power of his resurrection. The power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. And so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Yes, the physical resurrection, but also your spiritual resurrection, your dreams resurrection, your emotional resurrection, your relationships resurrection. Come on. I stand here today as someone who felt defeated, who was living through failure. I was coming to church and I was standing right there as a youth pastor and as a staff pastor. But at times I was feeling defeated. And I said, Lord God, what went wrong? But then he made a way. And his grace just showered on me. And everything the enemy tried to use to bring shame to me and to, you know, just condemn me. Look at you. What kind of a Christian are you? Is this what Christianity is about? But God said, no, I still have a plan for you. I still have a plan for you. And no matter what you have done, I want to tell you, God has a plan for your life. Don't give up. Don't stop hanging on. Your day of breakthrough is coming. Your day of breakthrough is coming. There's a better tomorrow. You may be going through your nine, but joy is coming in the morning. Joy is coming in the morning for you, Shiloh, and for everyone at the sound of my voice. Doesn't matter what you've done. You know, I want to say something. Sometimes we look down on other people's pain. Don't ever look down on other people's pain. You may say, you know, hey, that's never happened to me. I don't understand why they get embattled by those situations, maybe addictions or drugs or things that to you seem menial. It makes them drown. Don't look down on them. They're going through a storm nonetheless. But God has a way out for them. God has a way out for them. But you must look up. You must look up to the cross and receive your redemption. The only condition for you to have access to the resurrection power is for you to come to terms with what the cross was there to pay for. Your sin. Psalm 30, verse 5. God hates sin. Yes, but His anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Mm.